Please open your Bibles this morning to the book of Titus, chapter 2. I'll begin my reading in verse 1. But as for you, speak these things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men may be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, sound in love, sound in patience. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Let's pray. Most gracious God and Father, we come before you in hope of receiving from you, and the hope of having sound doctrine applied to our lives in every aspect of our lives, in the distinctions about who we are and where you have placed us in particular callings. I pray, Father, that we would all take serious what you call us to be, to do, and how we are to live our lives before you. Pray, Father, that you would help us, for we are weak and we have our flesh that wages war against us continually. And even this morning, Father, we cannot be ignorant. We cannot think that our flesh is not actively trying to distract us, to get us to focus on anything other than what you're calling us to do this morning, that is to learn and to be transformed. Father, strengthen me that I may deliver your word accurately. And that, Father, we would all bow down to your word. For it comes from you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For you reign. Thank you, Father, for this time. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. We just heard Kevin read, as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ expressed to us, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Which indicates to us that to not obey his commands is to say we do not love him. It is a fruit of our love to obey our Lord. To look into his word and say, this is the order of things. This is your decree. This is the direction of our lives. And it's about love. I was encouraged when I heard this morning as Kevin read, because it made me think more about the sermon this morning and the overall aspect of what it means to all of us. I know we are talking about women right now through Titus, but we have to understand that the principles that surround this apply to all of us in regarding to our individual callings and regarding to our lives in the face of God and the way the world may see us. Because the world and worldly thinking, which we must recognize that we are not free from that, that we are influenced by the world around us, by our culture. And we need to look to put that away, because worldly thinking despises God's word and his order. It detests what God says we are to be. It takes away the distinctions. It takes away the aspect that God is truly the one who reigns and decrees who we are. And he's the one that puts us where we are. Last week, we looked at the wonder and beauty of God's created order. How he created man in his own image. He created them, male and female. In His own image, He created them, which showed us that the essence of mankind, both male and female, are created in God's image. But then God shows us the distinctions between men and women. As He created man, the male, from the dust of the earth. And then He formed the woman out of man as the distinct helper for him. Men and women were created as compatible, working together to glorify God as one creation. But in the oneness of our creation, the likeness that we have of God, He also makes very clear distinctions in His Word on how we are to live and how we are to operate in that likeness of God. One God in three persons. One in the same essence, yet distinct in their persons. This is part of our image of God, the way He created men and women. He created us as one essence, yet distinct in persons. Distinct in the work that we do. Yet working together to achieve the same thing, which in our case as created beings is to glorify God in all that we do. So in the very order of creation, God created man in His own likeness. Therefore, gave us distinctions as men and women. It is our job to glorify God in the order in which He has created us and called us to a holy calling. Which means as individual members of one another, we are to follow the calling which He has called us to. So as we look back into Titus 2, we see many distinctions that are given. Older men, older women, younger men, younger women, bondservants. And when we get into chapter 3, we see the distinction of our calling toward those who rule over us, who have authority. Let us not forget, to do anything other than to follow the order of God and to adhere to His Word in all things is to blaspheme God's Word and to diminish it and to despise it before a fallen world. So we get into our text this morning. And there's some interesting things here that I want to point out. So, first of all, this is addressed to the elder to teach older women. So this morning, that's what I'm doing. It says older women likewise. So, first of all, when it comes to older women, I explained this already once, that being the aspect of older here, the word does have to do with the idea of someone that is aged, but it has the implications of wisdom. So older women are those who are mature. And again, we're talking mainly about the aspect of their faith. We would not put a woman who is older in age and yet new in the faith in a position to be mature as what this is telling us. Yet they need to be taught the same thing. And even when we get into the aspect of younger women, the idea is that younger women need to learn to be mature women. That they one day will take over the role of an older, mature woman. And it continues to filter through from generation to generation. This is that older women are to likewise. So this is in reference to what it said in verse 2 in referring to older men. What is said about an older man up here in the aspect of just the demeanor, the aspect of, it doesn't give a whole lot of instruction in verse 2 of directing a man in certain works. But it gives a character. And it says that an older man is to be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, sound in love, sound in patience. So there's a sense here that women need to think of those same things. We don't lose those aspects of character So we should recognize, now we will see details of some of these in the aspect of verses 3 through 5. But the most important thing I want to take out of the likewise is that older women also should be sound in faith, sound in love, and sound in patience. That is a general principle to all believers, and we need to hold on to that. But then when we get into the older women, there's some very unique things here. And what I want to focus on this morning is the phrase here that says that they be reverent in behavior. Now, we look at that and we go, okay, that's fine, they're reverent in behavior. But there's something here that is unique. In other words, we can look through Scripture and we can see the word behavior throughout it. And yet the word behavior here is only used here. It's the only place in Scripture that this one word that is translated behavior is used. And I find it fascinating. Because the word behavior here has to do with a position. Or condition, or I think the best way to put it is a calling. In other words, your behavior that it is speaking of here is in line with your calling. The position in which God has placed you in. And it's unique. We want to understand that it's the Young's literal translation. When it speaks of this type of behavior, that you are to have a behavior that is becoming to your sacred calling. Your sacred, as a sacred person. It's extremely important to see that there's something happening here, and I think it's intentional by Paul. Because he doesn't use it anywhere else. That he's giving something, he's telling us something about women that not only that women should take to heart, but that we should all take to heart. Because this is just a distinction and that says that women, as a woman, okay, forget anything else that you may do in life. But being a woman is a sacred calling. So as a gender, God is calling women to glorify Him in very specific ways. It's important that we understand that we are not like the world. The world loses these distinctions. They despise this. They want to eliminate anything that shows any sort of distinction between people. We want to eliminate all gender. We want to eliminate anything that shows that God has made distinctions. Because this is not about an earthly idea. This is about a godly distinction. As we already saw last week, that he made distinctions just in the way he created men and women. We should embrace these things. You know, the world despises God's appropriated distinctions in this world. And there's a lot of them. Okay, so we're talking about women right now, so we're leaning that direction. But if we went through Scripture, we would see a lot of different distinctions. Distinctions in positions of authority. Distinctions in ages. Distinctions it's all over. We got so many distinctions. Those distinctions are placed there by God, not man. We don't make distinctions based upon a worldly way, but on a biblical way. Remember, this is the whole point here, that we do not want to blaspheme the Word of God. We want to make sure that we are living according to our calling and embracing that calling. It is easy, especially in this culture, for all of us. And, of course, we're talking about women, so it is easy for women to look at things more in this idea that the world throws at us, the idea of fairness, the idea of equality as the world sees it, not in the way that God distinguishes our equality of essence, our equality of being created in the likeness of God. I'm even in we'll look at this later on in another sermon, but even the aspect of us being saved through the same blood of Christ, that we share in that glory, and we can't leave that behind. These are tied together, our oneness, our likeness, and our distinctions cannot be separated. Just as we see in the triune God, they cannot be separated. Even though there are distinctions within the persons of the Trinity, they are still one God, and they are absolutely 100% compatible within themselves. And they never vary from one another, though they each have individual, for lack of a better word, responsibilities that they discharge, and yet all of them are involved in what happens. It is a fascinating reality. And so when we look at this, we understand that this idea of behavior is based not upon some general sweeping idea of behavior, but a specific way of behaving in light of your specific calling as a woman. Embrace that. That is wonderful. God has called you to glorify Him in distinct ways as a woman. Ways that men do not glorify God. They have their distinctions in how God calls them to operate. And so embrace this reality. And so the phrase is that they may be reverent in behavior. Now, you go through translations, there's a lot of variability in the word usage. And so as I studied through this, I really had to work at this to think about what's being said here. We're using the New King James Version, and it says to be reverent. Okay, that's a good word. But the word here is bigger than that. Because when we think about the word reverent, we're thinking about it in light of how we live our lives and the aspect of revering, a sense of holy fear towards God, those type of things. But this is the aspect of holiness, the aspect of being a sacred person, someone set apart. Now, when we link these and we understand that it's a woman's behavior as becometh to holiness, that's the way the King James Version puts it. So a behavior that is consistent with your calling as becometh to holiness. So when we consider the idea of holiness, what does that mean? So when we consider the word holy and holiness and how we're to operate in life, we have to think about this once again in light of who God is and the idea of what holiness means. And we know that the holiness of God is that He is other than anything else. There is nothing that is equivalent to God. There is nothing that is truly like God. We are in His image, but we are not the same as God. And so, if we look at the idea of being holy, here we have the idea being put before us by the Apostle Paul that a woman has been given the privilege of living holiness, living separate from this world and the ideas of the world. A sacred calling to live in light of God's precepts, not the world. And again, I want you to remember this. Do not think this morning, I don't care who we are, do not think this morning, yeah, I've got this. To say, yes, I've got this, is to deny the remaining sin in us, the fallenness, and the fleshly desires that we have. It is also to deny the influence of the world around us. The Word of God does not say that to be a disciple of Christ is to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him for no reason. We have to deny those earthly ideas. We have to deny ourself, our passions, our way of thinking. We have to deny what we think is good for me. And recognize that God has given us something that is good, even when it doesn't seem or feel right. Our feelings are fallen. Do not forget that. Our emotions are just as infected by sin as everything else. And that's why it is the Spirit, which means if we are going to live according to Spirit, we deny the other part of ourself that is warring against the Spirit and obey the Word of God. Remember, if we love Christ, we will obey His commands. But this is beautiful. This is really a beautiful reality that God has given us distinctions to help us. You know, we think about all the things. How do we live our life? Well, take the time to clear your mind, to put away everything you know, everything you understand from the world around us, and ask, what does God's Word say? A woman is commanded to live in the way of a godly woman, not in the way of a godly man. She has a sacred calling that is specific to her. This is an absolutely beautiful truth given to us from God. It is a sad thing that the world cannot see this. And much of the church today has departed from the sacred calling of a woman, and instead has tried to make her more like a man. We've heard the phrase before, and people are offended by it. But in the sense of considering what it means in a sense of distinction. If I tell a woman, or if I tell a man, you throw like a woman, well, that's an insult. The world will look at you and say, that's just awful to say anything like that. But the reality is I don't want to be a woman. No more than a woman should want to be a man. That's not our calling. And that's the point of that. Yes, I know that we can use those things in a very inappropriate way. But I bring it up just in the sense that a woman should not want to throw like a man. Now, this is a very simple view of things. But why does a woman want to throw like a man? Why does a woman want to do anything like a man? Why does a man want to do anything like a woman? We're called to distinct ways of glorifying God in the way He created us. And those are compatible. They work together as mankind to glorify God. Why do we want to be like the other? So regardless of whether you are a man or a woman, you are not called to take the calling of the other. To do so, first of all, despises your calling. If I should be more like a woman, I despise my calling as a man. I was created as a man. I was not created to make a decision whether I was a man or a woman. I was created to be a man, just as a woman is created to be a woman. And if we seek to find ourselves satisfied in the other's calling, then we despise what God has called us to. This is so important. that we do not blaspheme the Word of God by our worldly desires. Because listen, ladies, living according to your calling as a woman is very precious in the sight of God. In 1 Peter 3:3-4, there are some things here that we need to really, there's a lot we could do with all this, but I wanted to see the beauty of a woman and her calling. And if we were to really surround ourselves with more 1 Peter, which we will in time as we go through this section of Titus, but it says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart. So I'm going to stop there for just a second. I want to make sure there's some clarification here. So, in the New King James Version, it actually adds the word merely, which, the thought here is it's not inappropriate to add that from the translation, from the flow of thought that's happening here. But I think we get a better aspect of what is being said if we take it at a direct translation. Do not let your adornment be outward. So what does it mean? It means do not make what you are about an outward thing. And he's very specific here to make it, let help us to understand this. The arranging of the hair, the wearing of gold, the putting on of fine apparel. Now, this is not telling us, it's not forbidding, and we could see that under passages, and we'll probably see those later on through this series, but it's not telling you not to fix your hair. You're not supposed to get up in the morning and just have bedhead all day long. That's not what we're talking about here. It's that, and we see it in the world, is it not? This is a worldly thinking. Magazines. Magazine covers. And what we see on TV. It's all about that exterior. The finest of clothing. The beautiful jewelry. The beautiful hair. Oh, this is who I am. Everything outward. I want people to see me for this fleshly thing. But yet the inside is dark and ugly. And the outside, first of all, the beauty of youth fades. Everything begins to go south. We all begin to sag and get wrinkles and our hair changes and all this because it's not incorruptible. And so what the Word of God is saying here is women, don't make your life about outward living. Don't make it about how you present yourself. Don't make that the pinnacle of your life. But rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty. So there's an aspect here. That what is beautiful about a woman more than anything else is that which is incorruptible from the heart. It's a disposition of a woman. It's the way she comes across as a woman. It's a beauty. And here's what this says, and I want you to think about this. I think it's important. And we'll deal with these words in a lot greater detail later. But it says, let your adornment, okay, be of the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Well, what does that mean? And I'm not going to get deep into this, but this is the way a woman carries herself. She's not boastful. She's not loud. She's not carrying on in some way that makes her the the focal point. And so women don't want to dress in a way that makes them the focal point in a room. Nor do they want to present themselves in a way that comes across as pompous, as ugly. And I want you to hear the next line, though. And we'll get more into all of this idea of being gentle and quiet. The word quiet here, let me just make sure you understand something. When it says quiet, this does not indicate that a woman doesn't talk, that she sits in a corner and is absolutely silent. It means that her demeanor is quiet. She doesn't make everything about herself. She's more reserved in the way that she presents herself to people. She's not trying to put herself out there. This is beautiful in the eyes of God. And listen to this. It says, which is very precious in the sight of God. For a woman, this is what you're called to. Don't despise it. It's beautiful. Listen to incorruptible beauty. That's what the scripture calls it. An incorruptible beauty. How many women have you seen or heard or that are beautiful in their appearance? And then they open their mouth. The most vulgar words come out. They just constant in how they present themselves in ugly and despicable ways. And no longer does even their outward beauty catch the attention. But the ugliness of that inward person comes out. And who wants anything to do with that? You see, this is the importance, ladies. Work on those things. And this is, again, the most important part that I'm getting across here, or that I want to get across, is that what is precious to God is the inward person, that hidden person, which is in, with its incorruptible beauty. We'll expand on the idea of gentle and quiet spirit later on in some other sermons. But remember that what's most important here is that when a woman lives and acts and presents herself according to her calling from God, it is beautiful and it is very precious in the sight of God. There is nothing that should please a person more than knowing that their disposition, their attitude, the way they live their life is very precious in the sight of God. This is what we should all be pursuing according to our callings. Understand this, men. We are no different. We have callings. We're not talking about that today. But we should all seek to live a life that is precious in the sight of God. Not precious in our own sight, not even precious in the sight of our spouse, but precious in the sight of God. That's who we live our life in front of. In the Word of God, there are general commands to all believers, but there are also distinct and specific commands given to different callings. I'm a pastor, I'm an elder. I have very specific commands that apply to me and nobody else. Because I'm an elder. And I, just as the text is telling me here, to teach these things. It's not telling other people to teach these things. It's commanding me to teach these things. That's a command to me. It's distinct to those who are in the office of elder. And so we need to understand that there are general principles that apply to all of us. But there are also distinct principles that apply to us in our calling. We see in Titus chapter 2 alone that he gives a list of distinctions to different individuals depending upon their position, depending upon where they are in life and where God has placed them. So women are called to live as a godly woman. The only way a woman lives as a godly woman is by obeying the specific commands given to a woman from the Word of God. This is not about men, and it's not about women. This is one of the problems that we have in the world as well as in the church. We make a battle. We have fights over men and women. We make everything about the difference in the sense of, I don't want to be like this. I want to do what you're doing. I don't want to be like this. I want to do what you're doing. Instead, we are to be working together to glorify God where God has called us. And when we are all doing what God has called us, then we as a body glorify God. As we as individual members glorify God in our individual callings. I was so encouraged when I saw that word. Because it gives us that understanding. Women, you're not just a female. You're called to a glorious place by God. And it's no less glorious than where a man is called. They're just different. And both are needed. Remember, the woman was taken from man. And for mankind to glorify God, it requires us working together according to God's distinct commands to each of us. So women are called to live as godly women, specific commands given to women by the Word of God. We are both, men and women, to serve God and glorify Him where He has placed us by His own design. And to do anything else would be to blaspheme the Word of God. But consider this for a moment. We think about the idea of the incorruptible beauty of a woman. That hidden place in the heart of that gentle and quiet spirit. We think about that incorruptibility of the beauty. But let's consider this in light of 1 Peter chapter 1. And how we see this, that the way we live our lives as individuals toward our specific callings is a gospel matter of the incorruptible seed. You see, we tend to forget that our lives are always a gospel matter. It's always a matter of how we glorify God and exalt Christ. Remember, everything God has designed is to, in one way or another, reflect God and His work. It's all about God. The way you live your life as a man or as a woman reflects God in a one way or another. And we should embrace that calling with all the gusto we have, pursuing it, chasing after it. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. What's incorruptible? That which God has transformed. So ladies, when we look at what it says in 1 Peter 3, we have to understand that incorruptible beauty is not the beauty of the fallen nature. It is the beauty of what Christ has done in you. It is the reality that God has created something new and distinct in you that is not like the world around you. That does not look like the women that we see in the world. But is distinct in its nature towards the glorification of God. We have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God. It is the Word of God that lives and abides forever and transforms us daily. It is only through the Word of God that we will know what it is to have an incorruptible beauty. Looking at how it is defined throughout the Scripture. Because, listen, if we are so concerned about the temporary world around us, we're concerned about whether we get our due. You know, we're faced with a temptation in this country that some countries aren't tempted by as much. We tend to focus more upon our freedom and our liberty than upon glorifying God. We get more concerned about focusing on the things of this world, upon this kingdom we live in here, instead of the kingdom of God, which is eternal. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Consider what's being said here. We are part of the incorruptible seed, which is Jesus Christ. And He has implanted into us His Spirit that instructs us through His Word. If we are concerned about the flesh, about our own glory, remember, that all fades away. That disappears, dies, and burns. But it's the word of the Lord that endures forever. So again, when I talk about this, I know we're talking about what it's saying here about older women, but this principle is true to all of us in all things. What controls your life? What controls your ideas? Is it the Word of God? Or is it your own opinion? Is it your own feelings about things? Is it that you feel you need to have more honor given to you? Christ became man and became nothing. He humbled Himself. Our lives, we don't need to seek glory. Glory lies before us, and it's the glory of Christ. We're to live in light of what is coming when sin is no more. And our lives will be lived in the presence of God with praise and adoration given to Him continually. Sin no more to burden us. And all that is flesh, all that this world has to offer us, all the glory, all the pomp and circumstance, all that we have earned, all that we have made for ourselves will burn. And we will be given the greatest reward that anyone can receive, and that is God Himself. Therefore, as we live in this world, we should live according to the Word of God, which endures forever. When we consider the Word of God, it is a sad thing. I've talked to many people throughout my years who come to me and talk about a passage of Scripture, and they talk about how this is what I'm doing, but then they literally take one verse. And they don't understand what the Scripture says. because they've taken a verse to fit what they desire. To fit their fleshly ideas. To bolster them up. Instead of finding themselves humbled before the Word of God in repentance. Instead of finding themselves being transformed by the Word of God. Looking at the totality of what God says in every matter of life. Regardless to whether you're a man or a woman, our demeanor should be that of which seeks to glorify God by obeying His Word. Not by our own design, not by our own imagination, but by surrendering ourselves, humbling ourselves before God and His Word. For it is a gospel matter. For now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Every aspect of a Christian life is a gospel matter. We either exalt it by obeying God's word and being transformed to live like God calls us to do, or we despise it. There is no in between. There is no lukewarm. And we need to think about that in our lives. Am I, by the way I live, despising that which I love? Or do we, as Christ said, if you love me, you will obey my commands? If we love the gospel, if we love the fact that our sin has been taken away, that wrath is gone, that all we have to look forward to is glory, and the fruit of our love towards Christ is walking in light of God's Word. It doesn't matter whether you're a woman or a man. I know we're talking about women. This is true to all of us. Men cannot think they're any different in understanding their very distinct responsibilities. Let us glorify God. Let us show our love for God by living and walking in the integrity of His Word, in our obedience to Him for what He has done in Jesus Christ. You and I deserve only one thing. That is His wrath. All we deserve is His wrath. But He has shown His mercy and given us grace through the person and work of His Son, Jesus Christ. How little of it, how little a thing is it for us that He has given so freely for us to chase after Him. By obedience to His Word. Let's pray. Most glorious God and Father, there are so many hard things in Scripture. And there is much more work to be done in this area. Many more sermons to come, Father, to understand Your Word. I pray, Father, that each one of us who profess to be Your child would put away ourself for the sake of glorifying You where You have called us. It is in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.